And now, live from Nashville, Tennessee, it's Dave Nemo Weekends with Z and the Rooster.
It is Z and the Rooster for the Dave Nemo Weekend Show, and we're happy to be back with you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, and man, road dogs, we got a special treat for you today. You guys, lovers of semis, we have the semi of semis. It's we've got Gail Banks with us, now Gail, you own the truck, is that correct? And Mike Ryan drives it for you?
No, actually, it's Mike Ryan's truck. And I am the power system guy.
That's true. You know, I was talking earlier, I used to do a little bit of drag racing and things like that myself back in the day. And I knew your name, you know, when I saw it come across our calendar, Banks Racing. And and you guys, you know, if you ever want to send me a Banks Turbo for my Subaru Forester, turn it into an STI Forester, just let me know.
I was just looking at a little four-cylinder diesel Subaru last night. Pretty interesting cars.
Oh, yeah. Are they bringing that to the U.S. these days? I haven't checked up on that one recently, but...
You know, I talked to a guy from France who imports the engine. I just... It intrigues me because it's an engine I could use in some of my military stuff.
Okay, yeah, I saw your video where you were doing some testing with the Hummers for the guys over in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah, and in Africa. We're in a number of countries in Africa right now. And yeah, there are Hummers deployed in all those theaters with my power upgrades, my Sidewinder turbo system and exhaust braking and things like that. That's why I came to Pikes Peak 3 years ago, high altitude.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, too. Is that the biggest challenge at Pikes Peak, is the elevation and in the elevation change for an engine that's running at full click, you know, for 11 minutes, hopefully?
It is. It is. And it's like you're changing the altitude. A lot of guys here are still running carburetors, and it's you got to reset the carburetor as you go, but you can't.
Right, yeah, there's no switch to swap out the carbs, or the jets, yeah. I mean, yeah.
The big deal is the top of the mountain's 14,110 feet, and more than half the air density is gone. That means half your power potential is gone. So the whole deal with Afghanistan, the altitude that the Navy guys wanted me to do, I first was doing this for the Navy, they said 14,000 feet. And I said, you're driving vehicles at 14,000 feet? And they said, yeah, we have an airport at 14,000 feet. So they've got level ground in Afghanistan at 14,000 feet, which is hard for me to imagine. So we came up here and developed the Sidewinder turbo package for the Humvees on Paul Dollenbach's unlimited car, 1,400 horse small block Chevys, what I did, and it runs on methanol. And it's kind of an odd deal, but I have always developed or found the limits of engine designs through 54 years. I'm in my 55th year of doing this. I've always done it, racing. I mean, it could be Bonneville or it could be offshore boats. It could be drag racing. It could be anything. But racing, endurance racing especially, helps me design engines that go the distance.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or anything, yeah. So this truck of Mike Ryan's, Mike's been running this Freightliner Cascadia up here with a DD60, a Detroit diesel, 14-liter, inline six-cylinder. He's been running it up here for a number of years, and he's been breaking the record virtually every time he runs. So the other guys who ran semis at Pikes Peak actually went away. It was like you couldn't get to Mike Ryan. He's a stunt driver, by the way. He's in Fast and Furious 6. And a million other movies,
right?
But you only see him in the credits. But one fine guy, I've known him a lot of years, and last year, running with Dolenbach, he was pitted near us. So I went down and talked to him. I mean, I've been doing diesel since 1978 and turbo since 1964. So it's kind of, here it is. And he had a compound turbo system, kind of like you put on a pole tractor. And it did what a pole tractor does. It made lots of smoke, and it was slow to respond to the throttle. And we got 156 turns in about 12.4 miles here. Every time he came off a turn, it laid down smoke that would blot out the sun.
Right.
And it leaving the line, he'd draw a huge crowd, and then he'd just bury them in smoke. That is wrong. I set records and have done with diesel for decades now, and there's no smoke. That's because if I inject fuel in the engine, I want to use it in the engine. I don't want to see horsepower in the air that I didn't feel. And so that's how I do it. The way to do it on Mike's Freightliner, I came up with a new concept. The Navy has boats they call SWCC, which is Special Warfare Combatant Craft.
Right.
And I've been selling the Navy engines for those boats on and off since 1975.
Yeah, I've seen those too. They get up and go. But I don't know anything that your name's associated with that doesn't.
But I like my eyeballs to touch the back of my skull. I mean, I like a heavy acceleration, if you know what I mean.
I do.
Like God hit you in the back with a 12-pound hammer.
Yes, sir.
So on the SWCC boats, my company, Banks Power, we did a Cummins engine design, Cummins-based. Back in 2002, I set a world speed record for diesel pickups, and I used an engine that Cummins hadn't introduced yet, a new type of injection called Common Rail, and 5.9-liter engine, 735 horsepower. I put it in a little Dakota. It's kind of like Pontiac did back in the 60s when they took a Le Mans and put a big V8 in it, called it a GTO. And that was the beginning of, you know, muscle cars.
Now, 537 horsepower, what kind of torque numbers are we talking?
Well, it was 735 horsepower.
Oh, sorry.
That thing made around 1,250 pound-feet of torque.
Whew.
And I towed a trailer to Bonneville with it just to show, hey, this thing's a truck. And with the race tires and all my pit tools and jacks and jack stands, and put the race tires on it, and ran a two-way of 217 miles an hour, and that stands till today. So the Navy read about this Cummins in the magazine, and they called me up and said, can you do that as a marine engine? So we did about a year and a half, 2 years of design work and testing, and lo and behold, the Navy deployed that engine. So there you've got it. In other words, racing leading to a practical use, everyday use.
Yeah, it reminds me of NASA. You know, they develop all sorts of materials and technology, and then a few years later, we're using it in a pillow. You know,
you are so spot on with that. I'm telling you. We got a lot of NASA going on near me in California because the Jet Propulsion Lab is 8 miles from my shop. In fact, there's NASA or JPL guys that are working for me that, you know, left JPL, and they're, you know, car and truck type guys.
Right.
So the last of the story on that Navy deal was that since they had all this power with the diesel, They put a pair of them in one variety of their boats. The natural tendency was to put more weight in there, carry more. And that made them hard to get out of the hole, hard to get the boat on top of the water.
Yep.
And so I did a V8 just on my own. I'm talking with the guys, some of the Navy guys, and I says, well, you know what? I think I could take a supercharger and a pair of turbochargers and use the supercharger to blow that boat out of the water, because it gives you instant boost. And then switch over to the turbochargers and take the supercharger offline, because they do suck a lot of horsepower. So that's what we did. We tested it out here near San Diego at one of their boats, and by God, it just popped the boat on top, and we were going.
Yeah, because that supercharger is power on command, right? And there's no turbo,
absolutely,
no turbo lag, which is what the problem you were fighting.
Yeah, superchargers are instant power, but they eat a lot of horsepower when you're cruising. So that kills your range or your fuel economy. So I thought, well, okay. Well, the other thing it did is it eliminates the smoke signature, and that's a big deal in the military and tactical situations. You don't want to be sending up smoke signals telling everybody, here I am, you know. So you have what's called audible range and visual range. Those are the things you want to diminish so you can sneak up on people.
Right.
And then you want enough power. So once they do see you, you're right on top of them because you're coming fast. So what we did, I was talking to Mike Ryan last year on the mountain, and I said, you know, I did this deal with the Navy, and it really worked good. How about we do that on your truck? So we did it. And this thing's got it's a big engine. It's got a really big supercharger, what's called a screw type supercharger.
Right.
And then the turbocharger is so big, we've nicknamed it Kong. it's people look at this thing, and we were at FanFest last night in downtown Colorado Springs with the truck. First thing is, when you fire it up, this screw supercharger really screams. So that draws a crowd in its own right.
Yeah, I've watched some of the videos on this truck, and it, you know, there's the supercharger whistle, and then you've got all the noises that the turbos make, and I'm sure you've got some blow off valves on this bad boy, and that sort of thing. Just listening to this, yes, listening to this thing go around the racetrack, it's a totally different sound, and it's amazing.
And you know, we didn't fire this thing until last Thursday. That was first fire. And we ran it at Irwindale Raceway to bug it out. In typical race venture, you got to sort them out. We've done all kinds of new electronics to inject methanol into this thing and to spray distilled water on the face of the intercooler, super cool the inlet air.
Right.
And also, last year, he spun out. He lost his brakes. And I mean, this is the most dangerous place I've ever raced.
Yes.
I'm telling you. No holds barred. I mean, no guardrail for most of the distance. Hairpin turns going up like the face of a cliff, literally. And if you miss it, you're off. And you're going to go down 500 to 1,000 feet, just bouncing and flipping and what have you.
Yeah, one of our callers earlier said that he had a buddy back in the day driving a Nova in a race back there, and he went off the cliff and was in the hospital for a year.
Well, you know, he was a lucky one, because in the 3 years I've been coming up, you know, I've seen people killed. So when you strap yourself in to a semi, you got a real good look off the edge. I mean, in a regular car, it's kind of hairy. And once you get above the trees, you don't have any trees to slow you down either. You're just gone.
Yep.
So he He gets in this thing, last gear, and he loses the brakes. And there's the occasional spot where people have gone off, but they put a little guardrail. And he spun the damn thing, hit the guardrail, and gathered it back up and finished. And he broke his own record, you know, even though he spun the thing. But the brakes were gone, overheated. So we also took one of my straight shot injection systems and repurposed it to cool the brakes. We're shooting a water mist into the center of the brake rotors. And the brake rotors have air passages inside them.
Right.
So that mist goes through there and cools the rotors. So now he can drive. In racing, you want to be at the highest speed you can for the longest that you can. And brakes are part of that. Now he can get deeper into the turns before he gets into the brakes. He gets set up for the turn. He's got better throttle control in the turn because he's on the supercharger at those lower speeds. And he comes off the turn like a slingshot. I mean, it's laying rubber coming off every turn with both rear wheels. And the big evidence was yesterday when we were qualifying in the middle section of this 12-plus miles. He laid 225 feet of rubber with that semi with both rear tires, just black-tracked the thing. And I mean, that drew a crowd, I'll tell you.
I would not want to be funding your tire purchases.
Oh, Michelin is backing us. And of course, Daimler, they are Detroit Diesel and Freightliner. And I think between all of them and myself, he's got real strong backing in this. But here again, we developed this methanol injection system for this truck, and by God, we're finding better fuel economy. There's no smoke. In testing, I hooked it up to my emissions equipment because I have a full blown diesel emissions lab, and I found that it reduced NOx, which is one of the bad pollutants, and didn't harm anything else. So I'm able to. This is kind of cool. We did a 40 semi test a few years ago with some mileage improving electronics, and we're now working oddly with the military. I haven't done anything with the truckers yet with this stuff, but we picked up about 5.2% on fuel economy over a 7-month period with the 40 semi fleet that we were experimenting with. I'm going to go back and do that again with this, with my straight shot injection, because I think that there's more to be had. So I've kind of come up with something that'd be real neat in my product line for diesel pickups. And now for semis. I mean, this thing has hooked me on semis. I've always loved trucks, but you see this race truck, and have you seen it on my website?
I'm looking at it right now. I can't get enough of it. And actually, we got to step away for a quick break just for a couple of minutes. If you'll stick with me, I've got some more questions about that truck. So,
all right, I'll hang on.
Thank you very much, and we will be right back after these messages.
We travel the highways from coast to coast, but the memory I treasure the most.
And we are back with Gail Banks. And Gail, I'm looking at this truck, and you said that you really love trucks, and I gotta imagine that part of that is that you've got basically an unlimited canvas to stick as much horsepower on some wheels as you want.
Yeah, that truck is special in a lot of respects. First of all, my art department did the wrap on that truck, and I think it's damn hot looking. But secondly, that body, if you will, a cab, is all carbon fiber or fiberglass. And we took the engine and lowered it until the oil pan's damn near touching the ground, give you a lower center of gravity, And to get more traction, we moved the engine back about 6 feet. So the thing's got just about a 50-50 weight distribution. It is a road race semi, literally. It's got a ZF 5-speed in it, which is they use for truck road racing in Europe. And we managed to score a couple of those. And Detroit Locker, which we have completely, we machined some pieces to lock it up totally, because this thing is making, we're turning the engine 2,700, which any trucker listening knows, we're buzzing that thing. Normally 2,100 might be your fuel cut. We're making our fuel cut at 2,700. So this thing is making, by the way, the engine was originally a marine engine.
Okay.
So it made 825 horsepower, which is a bit more than you'd find in a semi. And we're at 2,400 horsepower now. And once we turn on my straight shot methanol, then we're at 2,800. It adds 400 horsepower.
Now, would you liken that to nitrous oxide at all, or is it totally nitrous, different?
It is. Nitrous adds oxygen, and I use nitrous with turbos and on diesels in my drag racers.
Like right,
I got a top dragster I'm doing with a diesel V8. We held the pro stock record for 4 years with a little S10 truck with one of my Duramax V8s. But the point is, those things, nitrous to me is a cool drag racing tool, but carrying enough to do that 12.4 miles at that power level, I mean, I'd have to have the trailer behind the tractor. But with the methanol, I'm mixing it 50-50 with distilled water, and then I've got a little, actually, 49.5% methanol, 50% water, and about 0.5% of a corrosion inhibitor that I put in there. And the thing is with this, it cools down the air. You know, intercoolers cool the boost air, so you've got more oxygen per cubic foot air. And putting in the methanol and water and injecting it in the right spots, and I inject it before the supercharger. So when the air is being compressed in the supercharger, it's got a cooling agent. So when the air comes out of the supercharger, it goes over to the turbo, does it behind the cylinder head. The air entering the turbo, even though it's been boosted quite a bit, we keep that temperature. We sense the temperature and can control the water mass so that it's 150 degrees maximum going into the compressor.
I hear you. And hey, Gail, I'm really sorry. We are coming up against a hard break that I can't do anything about.
Okay.
I know your time is very valuable. If you want to stick around, we have to take a 5-minute break. If you'd like to stay on, we've got some phone calls for you if you want to stick around. But I understand if you need to go.
No. Five-minute break, I'll go get another cup of coffee.
All right.
And now, live from Nashville, Tennessee, it's Dave Nemo Weekends with Z and the Rooster.
Well, it is Dave Nemo Weekends with Z and the Rooster, but Z's taking a little bit of a backseat because I won't shut up. I can't stop stealing the mic. So anyways, we have Gail Banks on the line with us, and we're talking about his race truck because he's trying to break more records, probably break his own records, over there on Pike's Peak. And he's going to be taking calls from you guys in this half hour if you want to get in and ask Gail some questions about his turbos, his superchargers, his methanol systems, his air cooling systems. Where you can get one of these for your vehicle. If any of you guys have some show truck projects, I'm sure you could have some power adding modifications for you. This number here at the studio is 615-292-6366, and we look forward to that. But for now, I'm going to continue just jabbering this guy's ear off, asking about this truck. And I'm looking at it again, still looking at it. I can't take my eyes off it. And you know, at Pike's Peak, are you running racing slicks, or is it? I'm sure you're not, because it's a dirt road, right? You got to have some traction, but you also want to be fast on the road sections, right?
Well, you know, I wish it still was a dirt road, because that the action was really serious. You know, this truck goes up that 12.4 miles. You're going that altitude-wise almost a mile straight up as well. 156 turns, and if it's all dirt, some of those turns are hairpins. And in fact, in the middle section of the course, you're going, they call it the W's. It's a bunch of hairpins going, stitching back and forth off of a cliff face. I mean, it's damn near vertical. And every one of those turns, those guys would get the tail kicked out. They'd be spraying gravel all over the place. And it was far more dangerous. But somebody, the Sierra Club or somebody, said, well, they put a dust inhibitor on the road all the time, and that, they didn't want that chemical getting caught up in rainwater and running down the mountain, so they started paving it. 3 years ago, we had 4 miles of dirt, and the rest of it was paved, so your tire setup got really complex. So we ran treaded dirt tires on both the Unlimited mid-engine 1,400-horse pure race car that we were running, and Mike ran the same thing on his diesel tractor on the thing we're doing together, Mike Ryan. So now it's all paved. And, man, have we got guys, sports car guys, coming from Europe. We've got the guy who just won the 24 Hours of Le Mans. He's here with pure race cars. It's still dangerous.
Right.
And with this semi-tractor, Mike's still kicking the tail out because it's got so darn much power coming off the turns, it just gets tail happy. And he's boiling the smoke off the rear tires. We've got over 5,000 pound-feet of torque out of that engine right now. And with my straight-shot meth injection, we're at 2,800 horsepower. We're turning the engine 2,700 at the fuel cut. So it's damn responsive with a supercharger. Comes off the turn. And if we wear out a pair of tires, literally in two or three passes. And Michelin makes the tires. They are big super singles on the rear. And they make them out of a truck mold, but with racing rubber. So we've got a really proper tire for the course. And we're staying with treaded tires because last year and most every year in the afternoon, you have a weather event on top of that mountain. Last year, it snowed, it hailed, it sleeted, and it was just terrible up there. Hopefully, we've got sunshine all the way to the top because we want to break the record. But
right. Yeah, I used to live in Boulder, and that's where I actually just moved from, so I know all about the weather that can come through there.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got firsthand experience.
Yep.
Yeah, so we're almost at the end of the guys running tomorrow, or ninth from last, to launch off the line. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. We had about an hour of thunderstorms last night in downtown Colorado Springs, just showing the truck off to the public. And it got kind of rough for a while.
Now, to put it in perspective, as far as, how fast this truck is, what kind of, because I'm sure there probably aren't two, I mean, I know there are quite a few semis, but there aren't any like yours, right? I mean,
that's right.
And what other kind of vehicles is this thing putting times up against?
Well, in the last few years, the other guys went away. This thing has been a combination that the other guys couldn't find. It's how you do it. If you're going to change the power output of an engine, everything has to work with everything else. You don't want something too big and something too small and something too radical and something too mild. So we're kind of unique. Banx Power is a unique company in this whole diesel aftermarket. In that we are engine manufacturers. In other words, we put out Banks diesel engines. Right now, they range anywhere from 200 horsepower to 1,600 horsepower. And the biggest of those engines is 7 liters, the V8. So it's a 427, which is magic number from my youth.
Right.
So we've got engines in all kinds of emerging new military vehicles and new boat types as well that the Navy uses. So the bottom line, we got a kind of a unfair advantage in our aftermarket diesel thing in that we're engine designers. In fact, I'm doing a new crankshaft for the Duramax V8 with bigger crank pins and much stronger cranks, so I can make 1,600 horse out of one of those things virtually indefinitely. Steel pistons. We created a new rod bearing diameter from scratch. Did all kinds of cool stuff. So, and we're working on a higher flow cylinder head for the Duramax. So, bottom line is, we think from the center of the crank line, center line of the crankshaft out. We think engine, where other guys think turbo, or the other guys think exhaust system. We think engine, and we design the internals for the engine. In a lot of cases, we've also got this cool little V6. I cut a deal with. Well, first of all, we have worldwide distribution rights on the Duramax, and to do anything we want with it.
Nice.
Now we've got North American distribution rights on the Van Motori V6, little 3-liter, double overhead cam, 4-valve. It is a stout little pup. We're at 270 horsepower, about 480 pound-feet of torque out at 183 cubic inches. So this thing, by anybody's standard, is a hot rod. And that's just a mild tune-up on that engine design. So there's a lot of military projects going on. One of them is called the Phantom Badger, and this is public domain, so I'm not revealing anything I shouldn't. It's an all-wheel steer, all-wheel drive vehicle that goes into V-22 Osprey, which is that tilt rotor critter that the Marines are flying. So we've got one running now with one of my little V-6s in it. So pretty exciting thing. This deal at Pikes Peak, this is the most challenging thing on Earth, because you start at 9,400 feet altitude. You go 12.4 miles, and you're at 14,110 feet. There's just no air anywhere up there. And if you go off the edge, you could die. It happens frequently up here.
Yeah, and so, I got to think that you guys have been able to fit Mike with quite a bit of safety equipment, because you got the bigger platform. So, he's probably got a better chance than some people out there.
Well, he sent me he did a stunt in a Penske rental truck, a medium truck.
Right.
Where he took out two cars and sent me a little video clip of it the other day. I went, oh my God, this guy. He is a master of safety equipment. That's my point. He's even designed a new head. He flipped a bus in a stunt the other day, and he had a GoPro video camera on himself. And when he saw his head hit his shoulder, and I mean hard,
right,
sideways, he started designing a whole new head restraint system, which is better than what is called the Hans device.
Which is what they use in NASCAR, right?
Yeah, they sure do. So bottom line, he's got plenty of safety equipment in there. And one really stout roll cage. This is a cool truck in that the chassis is aluminum, it looks like a conventional chassis, but you know, everything to reduce the weight, move the engine down and back, all of the things that have been done have been done to make this thing a qualified racing vehicle.
Yeah, I'm looking at all the cross members and everything you've got on the back of this thing, and it looks pretty stout.
Well, and the guys that are listening, this thing's also got a big wing on it, like a sprint car. So, you know, if you want to see a picture, just go to BanksPower.com. We dedicated the website to this weekend. So there's videos and there's construction stuff. And
you've got a little video of that clean launch you were talking about, which is not just clean because he's fast as all get out, but because there's no smoke.
Yeah, and we're putting up a video. One of my guys got, when we were testing on the middle section yesterday, he was standing behind the truck when he left and put down 225 feet of rubber with both rear tires, just black tracked it. And I can't wait to get that photo up on the website. And I hope he got some video of it. So,
yeah, and I can't wait to see it. And, you know, I'm going to be looking for YouTube videos of this thing and all sorts of hopefully, is he going to be wearing a GoPro so we can get some firsthand footage?
You ought to see him in the cab. I mean, he's like he is a concert piano player, and I'm not diminishing him. You see these guys sit down at a piano, and what comes out of it is just wonderful. And the guy, it's no effort for the guys sitting at the piano. I've seen guys on excavators run the big heavy machinery, and they're so skilled, it's effortless.
It's the level of skill that I like to refer to as like the tool that they're using essentially becomes an extension of themselves, and you can just tell when they're using it.
Well, that's, you nailed it. That's exactly how Mike looks in the cab. And the truck is doing a dance. And, oh, by the way, do you know what drifting is when guys drift cars?
I was going to ask you if you guys are going to be doing any D1 events.
Well, we are. This thing drifts like you can't believe. And Mike has drifted it next to a guy named Tanner Faust, I believe, was the guy.
I know Tanner.
So you've got this. Yeah, well, he is famous. And you see him on TV.
Yeah.
Imagine a semi-tractor and a low-slung drifting car together on a drifting course. Mike has done that. It's amazing to see a semi do this. And the other day, we were drifting and giving people rides in the truck down at Irwindale Raceway in California. We were drifting in the infield, and we went through two sets of rear tires in about an hour, just boiling that smoke off. There was the air cleaner to set up on this thing. I've got three of my 1,000 CFM air filters on it, and when you look at this, you go, it's wicked looking. Just see air filter assembly. Those things were caked with tire rubber.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw it when it was clean. But yeah, the D1, you're going to be rubbing elbows with Reese Millen and a few other guys, and you know, there's always the crew from Japan, which is where D1 has started and all that. So,
you know, Reese, I was talking with Reese Millen last night, and of course he won the event last year up here,
right?
And Paul Dahlenbach, who I was running with last year, is driving Reese's winning car for the Millen family this year. Reese has got a sports car looking thing that he's running, and he was talking to me two nights ago about putting my straight shot methanol injection on that gasoline engine. Apparently he's had some engine difficulties up here this week, so I'll be working with Reese. And of course Rod, his dad, is a dear friend of mine for decades now. He is going brutally fast in an electric vehicle.
Huh. Yeah, you won't have to worry about any fuel issues there.
No, but 12-mile race, I guess you could pull it off.
Yeah, but batteries are heavy. They don't like running full out. Well, for the most part, unless you've got some super special battery, but batteries they like quick short bursts.
Yeah, and on top of that, they don't like cold. They don't put out power very well when it's cold.
Right.
So if we've got cold, but the whole deal is they have their place, like in hybrid vehicles. We're working on hybrid military engines where the flywheel is a motor generator setup to give you a little shot when you need it. We used to call accelerating out of some places, getting the hell out of Dodge. That was the deal.
Yep.
Today the military calls that escape and evade. So if you've got, like you just said, a momentary burst of power from this motor being installed in the flywheel, and more braking because it becomes a generator when you're braking.
Yep.
That's great. That'll get you the hell out of Dodge real quick. Only they call it escape and evade. That's the military term.
Right.
So lots of the engines that I do for military vehicles have to respond very quickly. With the Humvees, up armored, the Frag 5 armor, that's the heavy stuff. We test at 14,500 pounds. Humvees used to be 7,800 pounds. But they still have the same engine, 190 horse, antique turbo V8 from the early 80s. And those things, 0 to 60 is 45 seconds.
Yeah, or as one of my favorite billboards for the Volkswagen Beetle when it came out was a sign that said 0 to 60, yes.
We're able to cut it to like 23.
Nice. So
it helps a lot. I think I have the land speed record for an up-armored Humvee. We've had one to 96 miles an hour, which is way beyond the limit of the tires. They're 87 miles an hour, I think, is the max speed you should go. But so, not that guys drive that way, but we do some suspension upgrades where we can run about 80 miles an hour in open country. It's a very heavy vehicle.
I hear you.
Kind of a cool deal.
Well, Gail, we've only got about 5 or 6 minutes left, and we've got Kimo Sabi on the line who's been dying to talk to you.
Yeah,
hey Kimo Sabi, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, boys. Honor to talk to you, Mr. Banks. I've known your name for a long time. I grew up in California in the 50s with sprint cars and drag racing at Fremont and the boats over at Berryessa, and I've seen your turbos all along. My biggest, I know you got a lot on your plate with a military, I'm going to say a dirty word, carb there. Have you looked at anything? Get away from wasting our money on DEF. Blowing it out the exhaust.
Yes. You know what? The diesel particulate filters, if you... I do emissions in cylinder, in the engine, and this methanol injector that I'm doing really reduces the emissions. We may be able to get rid of the diesel particulate filter and do it legally, but... when you said CARB, that's the California Air Resources Board, and I almost said, "Watch your language, son."
I thought it was four-letter word.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's absolutely it. I never thought of it that way. That is a dirty four-letter word. So,
I'm not going to buy one of those, so I can't go home.
So. Yeah, I did a lot with boats and drag racing and all kinds of stuff. You ran a sprint car, huh?
My uncle, Al Hines, I grew up around him in the sprint cars. I mostly pitted. I got to do a little racing when I was older. I wasn't allowed to with that in those days and age. I was kind of like old J.C. Agajanian, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Agajanians are good friends. This deal, sprint cars run on methanol as well. And last 2 years, we were running a really big 440-inch SB1 old NASCAR engine that we'd poked and stroked, and with two turbos on it in Paul Dallenbach's car. Nothing more than a turboed sprint car engine. And it worked. We got 1,402 horsepower out of it, so it worked pretty darn good. So I'm with you. You know, being a Californian, and I grew up in the 50s, you had to have a hot rod to date the good-looking women.
Yeah.
So, well, hot rodding was a social tool for me. I mean, but I've never gotten away from it. I mean, and Rooster, I think it's the same with you. I mean, once you're a car guy or a truck guy, if you go in the ground at the end of your life, you're still a car guy or a truck guy.
Absolutely. Until I spent about $7,000 fixing up a car one time and then bought a motorcycle and it went faster. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, you know what? When you put that motorcycle down, a lot of hype comes off. I've never been a roadster guy. You know, I like coupes. I'm a coupe guy. So, you know, there's no 12-step program for us.
Thank goodness.
That's all I got to say. So we're getting ready to strap Mike Ryan in this thing tomorrow. We get up about 2 in the morning and get on the mountain about 3, and they close the gates to the hill at 5, and all the spectators have to be there as well. So a lot of people spend the night on the mountain, and it can be awfully nasty up there. But, man, talk about diehard spectators. And hopefully we give them quite a show with this Freightliner.
And is it common knowledge, or do we need to warn the fans out there to sit to observe from the inside of the turns?
Oh, man, if you saw any video of Paul last year at the end of the first straightaway, Paul was running about a buck 40, and he had a throttle stick issue that it was just a rigging error by someone on the pit crew. And he went off at full throttle into the trees. He cut down a number of trees with the car, and it was about a 45-degree angle going down as well. And, you know, there were like a minute and a half before that happened, people were on the outside of the turn, and one of the sheriffs had run them out of there, luckily. I mean, the first thing Paul said when we got up to him was, did I kill anybody?
Yeah.
And but for the grace of God, you know, that sheriff moved those folks out of there. And a minute later, Paul went through that same area. So, you know, that's when I run Baja down in Mexico, the Mexican folks will sit on the outside of the turns everywhere.
Yep. And hey, Gail, you know, that's going to do it for our show. We got to go right now, but we'll be right back with the Wannabeatles.